as a single person, you don't have, you know, you don't bounce off your financial decision to anyone. You can wake up the next morning and decide that you're going to buy yourself, you know, a new car, and you don't have to discuss that with anyone.
Welcome to the My Money, My Lifestyle podcast, where we discuss all things money, because whether or not we like it, money matters. I'm your host, Maya Fisher French, and today I decided to answer a question from a follower of mine. So I just want to say thank you to Twitter handle Afrinati, because he asked this question: what are the must-have investments a newly married couple should consider? And I thought, wow, this is a really good topic for discussion about how I think generally a newly married couple should start managing their finances together and aligning their goals. And who better to bring onto the podcast to answer this than Moroka Modiba, who is the managing director of Fatima Capital and author of Think Yourself Rich and The Wise Investor, which we have discussed on this podcast previously. So welcome, Moroka.
No, thank you. Thank you, Maya. As you say, this is a very, very interesting topic indeed. You know, looking back on my own experience, when I got married, you know, it was exciting to talk about our wedding, you know, and the honeymoon, you know, what clothes are we going to wear, you know, the cake and this and that. That conversation was much easier, you know, but post the honeymoon, now when we had to sit down and talk about our household finances, it became a different challenge, because none of us wanted to start the conversation about, you know, the finances. And I can understand the challenges that, you know, some couples will have, you know, having this discussion. So this is a very, very important discussion indeed.
And it's so interesting that you say that about the wedding. It's all the money that gets spent on the wedding. And generally speaking, you've ended this wedding with less money. Either your savings are now depleted, or you have a credit card debt because of it. And how do you start having those conversations around it? And we, you know, one of the best terminologies I've ever come across was sexually transmitted debt, because you often, when you're marrying somebody else, you know, you know, if you're both savers and you've got lots of investments, I think the conversations are a lot easier to have than like, okay, let's talk about the debt or the credit score. So, you know, how do you navigate those sort of conversations?
I think what makes the conversation difficult is that, you know, we as a single person, you don't have, you know, you don't bounce off your financial decision to anyone. You can wake up the next morning and decide that you're going to buy yourself, you know, a new car, and you don't have to discuss that with anyone, right, as a single person. But when you get married, it's a difficult ball game altogether, right?
I just had to laugh when you said that, because I think that I've come across as one of the hardest things. So people are so used to being on their own, and it's like, well, don't tell me how to spend my money, but it's no longer my money. I mean, you know, together as a couple.
Absolutely, absolutely. And some people, you know, they have a situation whereby there is what we call a black tax, whereby you are the only person in your family who's working, and you've been taking care of them for the past couple of years, and now you are married, right? And you can't just leave your family members behind, right? But at the same time, you need to sit down with your partner and say, look, this is my situation. This is how much I'm making. And I can only put on the table 60%, right? Those kind of challenges, they come into play. That's why some people will decide, you know what, I'm not going to have this conversation, because, you know, my partner will not understand my situation, right? And as a result, they'll just be reluctant to sit down and talk about it. And the reality is, if you don't talk about it as a couple, you know, you're not going to make it. You know, you're not going to make it. As we always say that, you know, when you need to buy, if you need to build a strong, you know, house that can withstand harsh weather conditions, you need a plan. Mm-hmm. The same thing with your business. When you need to build a business plan, a business that will withstand harsh economic conditions, you need a business plan. Same thing with your financial success. You know, you need to start with that conversation and put plans in place to guide you as a couple, you know, how you can achieve your financial success.
And you know, it's interesting you say that, because I come across a lot of the time, somebody will come to me and they'll say, I'm struggling financially. And the minute I say to them, well, what is your household budget? What do you together spend every month? They don't know. They don't. And what I find is that couples say, one says, I'll look after the mortgage and the car finance and you look after the rest. But there's no concept as to what that is costing them on a monthly basis. And I find it's quite an interesting when I find women, so the men tend to generally look after the assets. They will pay off the house, they'll pay the insurance, those sorts of things. The woman takes care of the day-to-day spending, which often can include groceries. And once they have children, the children. And those actually go up, you know, by inflation, if not higher, and actually become more and more expensive. Whereas your bond repayments, okay, at the moment we're going through bond rate increases, but generally speaking, those stay quite static. And over time, the woman doesn't understand why she's living in her credit card. And I always say, but have you not sat down as a couple to understand what it costs you to live? So, I mean, what is the importance of actually putting together that household budget from day one? You get together and you say, right, what does it cost us to live?
Yes. No. You 150% right. That's why I always say that, you know, having that conversation is a huge win. It's a massive, massive win. But unfortunately, the conversation, it wouldn't be enough. You need to put these things down, you know, together as a couple and say, listen, this is the financial plan that's going to show us where we are today and where we're trying to be, you know, in the future, in the next coming 5, 10 years or 20 years, right? And then draft a budget to say, how can we utilize our finances or our money effectively to achieve our goals? And some of them can be short-term goals. Some of them can be mid-term goals. Some of them can be long-term. But you need to have everything on paper so that it can guide you, right? And everybody needs to buy into it. So that when things start, you know, are drifting, I mean, there's going to be a point where, you know, some unforeseen, you know, events that will come whereby you need to take money from there and there and deal with that, right? But when the plan is in place, when the budget is in place, you can go back and say, okay, we drifted a little bit. Let's go back to the plan. Let's continue with our journey and, you know, so that we can get there quicker.
And I think part of that budget as well needs to include things like your entertainment. So things, now we do date night, Morocco, I don't know if you do. We do date night. It's in our budget. And that's something okay. We both enjoy. And then just I'm going to share a little bit how we do our budget in the Fisher French household. So okay. we have date night, but also I have my own personal budget that I spend on my hair and my nails and the things that I want to spend on. And my husband's a mountain biker. Anyone listening to this will go, oh no, shame. because they spend, that costs a lot of money. But that is, we take that out away. So we say we allocate a certain amount for our personal expenses, and how we manage that, you know, is our own business, obviously, because men never understand how much women spend on clothes and hair, and women don't understand men's gadgets and whatnot. So it's fair enough, no judgment. So I think it's important to have a little bit of your own autonomy in that space, but at the same time, understanding what life costs you together. And then, of course, not taking on, not going into massive credit card debt for the hair and the clothes and the mountain biking either. So there's got to be some kind of commitment to each other that, and especially, of course, if you're married in community of property, which is not advised, but, you know, any credit you're taking on is actually, you know, being shared by your partner. Your partner's effectively responsible for it.
Absolutely. No, I agree with you. I agree with you 100%. And I think what I've experienced is that, you know, couples will come to me and say, you know, we want to invest. You know, they'll be excited. They say, oh, no, we want to start our investment journey. And I can promise you, if they don't have any financial plan in place, 2 years down the line, I'll receive a phone call or an email to say, listen, we want to disinvest because something came up, you know? And as you know, in investment, time is your best friend. Mm-hmm. You know, you want to start early and build on it, you know. So if you don't have a plan, you're going to have a stop, you know, start, you know what I mean? So you don't want to do that with your investment. When you start your journey, your investment journey, you should just go all the way, right? So I agree with you on that.
And just to, let's get on to the investing point, though, because, of course, you know, you say something comes up. So I suppose the first thing for me is making sure you have that liquidity, that, you know, your probably first financial decision together shouldn't be long-term investing. It should be your shorter term. I need an emergency fund. Like, what does our emergency fund look like? How do we settle some of the short-term debt maybe that we've both come into this relationship with? And it sort of starts there. And then you start looking at your other goals. You want to buy a house. You want to start, maybe children are going to come along the way. Then you look at retirement. So how do you unpack all of those? I tell you, by the time you finish, your entire salary's gone to all these different things. You've got nothing left. But, you know, how does one unpack that as a newlywed couple? What are the priorities? And almost like, how do you put those priorities in place?
I think one of the most important thing, as you just mentioned now, is an emergency fund, right? And here we're not talking about investing. We're just talking about saving. You know, putting that money aside for unforeseen, you know, events in the future, right? And once that is in place, you can look at your short-term goals. You know, what are you trying to achieve in the next coming 12 months, 24 months, and 36 months, right? And those things will guide you in terms of where to put your money. Because at the end of the day, you don't want to put your money in a fixed deposit whereby you have agreed with the bank that, you know, the money is going to be there 12 months, and now you're going to, you know, withdraw the money within 6 months, right? So you should look at your short-term goals, you know, which can range from, you know, a few months to 3 years, and then allocate that money, not in an investment product, but in a savings, you know, product, such as the money market account. We're looking at fixed deposit account. We're looking at normal savings account. The aim here is convenience. Mm. You want your money, you know, as quick as possible, and make sure that, you know, you wouldn't incur a lot of penalties, right, or losses. So I think the emergency fund for me is the first step. This is where you need to put the money aside, and then now you can look at your short-term goals, whether you want to deposit for a car, which can be something in 2 years, 12, 24 months, or even 3 years. You can put your money in a money market account, right? So those short-term goals are the ones that you should focus on first, and then graduate to the long-term goals.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, you were talking about a deposit for a car, and it's actually a question I get quite often. And I think this is a very important point that you've made. So people say to me, I'm saving for a car that I'll need money in 2 years' time for a car or for whatever I'm doing. Holiday, maybe they're saving for the World Cup. That's a big popular one. And they always say, where can I get the best return? And that's almost not the right answer, because you don't want to be taking risk with this money. What you're wanting to do is to know that the money will be there plus some interest at the end of the period, because it's such a short term. You can't go and try and think, okay, I'm going to stick it in the stock market and hope for the best. And I think people get it caught in that. They get caught in chasing the return rather than the correct product or the correct investment or savings account for their needs. So I think very important, if you're looking at those sorts of things, you know, quite frankly, the interest rates at the moment are going up a little bit, so you can do quite well. But that's not what you're doing. What you're doing is you're saying, I want to make sure that money's available when I need it. So really, really important point. But now, you know, you obviously have got your goals. You say, right, this is our strategy. We, by the way, are also looking at a car in the next 2 years' time. So we've been looking at cars and deciding and doing all that. But you also need to start saving and preparing for the longer term. Now, I know children may be coming along the way. By the way, if you're going to be having kids, you definitely need to save a lot of money for at least 2 years just to cover the costs of having the child.
Absolutely.
But now you may get into a point where you're looking longer term, 5 to 10 year goals. Maybe you've kicked that out, buying a home. Maybe that's something you've pushed out further, or you're now having a child and you want to save for their education. Where do you go for that sort of 5 to 10 year
horizon? Yes, I think yes. This is that's a great question. I think what people need to understand is that, saving is important, yes, for convenience, but you don't want to overdo it. You don't want to put your money in a money market account for more than 3 years because it's generating a smaller interest, right? And at the same time, it's going to struggle to beat inflation, right? That's the problem with putting your money in a safer product like a money market account, right? So now this is where you need to look at products that can beat inflation and give you a little bit of return on top of that, to boost your the value of your money, right? So in the products ETFs, unit trusts, shares on the market, this is where it comes in. But as a young couple, my assumption is, you wouldn't know too much about, investing directly into the market and, but you can keep it simple. You can keep it simple by looking at the tax-free savings account that offers you products of the collective investment schemes, which are your unit trust and the ETFs, exchange traded funds. But ETFs for me is the easiest and the affordable product that one can get, right? Especially when you get it through the tax-free savings account, right? So meaning that your returns are tax-free, right? You can start as small as you want. You can start with 50 rand, as you always say. You can start saving at 50 rand, or you can start with a lump sum. Your products, your investments are diversified, meaning you don't have to incur a lot of costs and fees by trying to buy this share there and another share there. When you buy a basket of top 40 ETF, you have the exposure of the biggest 40 company on the JSE, right? So I think ETFs, unit trust, for me, that's where you can start as a novice investor. As you improve and get better and start understanding, oh, this is how it works. Oh, you know what? I like MTN better. I like ShopRite better. I like Naspers better. Then you can graduate and start looking at individual shares. Mm-hmm. But as a start, my advice will be start small, and build your portfolio using ETFs, which is exchange traded funds, or you can use, unit trust as well.
I just think about what is in the market. And I think I've written about this before where, when I started 20 odd years ago, these things didn't exist. And it was quite expensive, to get into the market. Where now, as you say, I think it's Satrix or even Easy Equities, all these guys are coming out 50 Rand a month. You can start investing. You really don't need a lot of money. And I think what's important here as well is obviously the tax-free, if you use a tax-free savings structure, or even if you're just going directly to a unit trust, for example, you each have it in your own name. So it would be your own investments. But as a couple, you would be saying, right, okay, this is what I'm investing. This is what I'm doing. So I suppose there would be, I was sort of thinking there's probably joint agreements about what that money would be used for, and maybe something like children's education. So maybe now you're saving for your child's education. That would be a combined sort of, you'd still take it out maybe in your own names, but you would say, right, guys, we're putting this money away. And my husband and I do that. We each contribute to our sons. We both put the money in the same place, but it comes off our different salaries. And we contribute for our children's education, and that's how we share that load. But then perhaps when it comes to your own specific goals, so maybe you want to stop working in 3 years' time and start a business, and you've got this idea. And that's another very interesting discussion to have with your partner, to say, look, this is my goal. One day I don't, you know, I'm bringing in the salary at the moment, but I want to, in a couple of years' time, actually start this business idea. And making sure that together you've agreed to that, that you've got a little bit of a nest egg that can support that. So, I mean, there's a lot of things that a couple need to navigate. Actually, if you're going to be married for 30, 40, 50 years, there's a lot of those experiences that you're going to have to navigate and have those conversations and make sure you understand what levers that you can pull in your joint finances to support each other.
No, absolutely. Absolutely. That's why it's important for each partner to buy into the plan 100%, you know, to support each other 100%. You know, what you don't want to do is you don't want to start investing on your own without letting your partner know, right? It might be your own investing for your own goals, personal goals, but your partner needs to be aware of them. You know, I mean, starting a business is not an easy thing, mm-mm, as we all know, you know. Absolutely, it's not an easy thing, right? So the right way to go about it is you need to sit down and talk to your partner, and you both go in it knowing that, okay, after 3 years, he or she's going to start their own businesses, and then this is the money for it. On top of that, you have to create a little bit of buffer, because things might not work out in the first year or two. You know, somebody needs to, you know, pick up the slack. You know what I mean? So I think this is where understanding comes in. This is where, you know, both partners will know that, okay, here's a plan. The money that we are putting in, and when things don't work out, we have a backup, you know, to help out.
Yeah, I think it's an important one that I see a lot of young in many couples. In fact, I did the same thing. My husband and I both, during the courses of our career, gone off on our own, left companies, done things, and it had to be a very important conversation, because as a couple, we had to cut back. We had to both agree that this was the right thing for us as a couple, and therefore we had to cut back. So it takes a joint agreement that we're going to cut back on our spending, and that to support one of us in our business ventures. So I think that is, you know, that's really, really important. But also retirement. Now, you know, retirement is something that I'm sure anybody who knows anything knows about compounding right by now. And generally when you start, when you're getting married, if you're both employed, you're probably part of your company's pension fund anyway. But it's such an important thing to have separately as well. So not just that you both make sure that you are saving for retirement. Because if your one partner isn't, and they're doing nothing about it, and you are, then what happens when you get to retirement? You know, the impact on your lifestyle and all of those things. So I think that is also something that couples need to, you know, do need to discuss and say, well, I'm, you know, and often in couples you find there's the one who does the saving and the one who doesn't. But the one who's not saving maybe needs to, you know, be part of the conversation, making sure that together you have a retirement strategy. Because yes, you may only be 30 years old and getting married, and you're thinking, what? Retirement's never coming. But that power of compounding. And I think also, even when you get to a point, maybe you're changing jobs, and you want to cash it out, because everyone wants to cash it out. And your partner's probably saying, yeah, I'll cash it out. We can buy a new car, all of those things. But then where does that leave the two of you, you know, when you're 60, 65?
No, absolutely. I think the retirement is something that, you know, when you are young, as you say, you think, it's 100 years, you know, ahead. You know, you're thinking 30 years is just too long, you know. And you know, I'll start, you know, in the future, I'll start in the next 10 years. And, you know, the earlier you start, the better. And what the great thing about retirement annuities or the pension fund is that they give you a lot of tax benefits. You know, they are also tax-free. Obviously, you're going to get taxed when you withdraw later on. But now, if your investment is giving you tax-free, is putting money in your hand so that you can use that money to grow your assets, you know. So it's very key. And one of I think the solution for investing together is that you shouldn't, you know, self-education, you know, it shouldn't be one person who's doing all the hard work and going out there and learning how the market work, how the ETF work. Both partners should sit down and try and learn together, you know. And I think that's most women, I think they, you will correct me, you know, they like giving the men, you know, that role of, oh no, you make sure that, you know, you invest the money wisely and grow it and make sure our future is secured. I think both parties have the responsibility now to learn about how investment works, you know, and grow. You know, you should have a say with how your money is invested, you know. And you know, some couples also make a mistake of giving the full responsibility to the financial advisor. They say, no, invest for money for us, and you know, and they don't make initiative to learn where their money is invested and how is it growing, is it beating inflation or not, you know. So it should be both parties' responsibilities to learn how investment work and then, you know, and grow their knowledge with investing.
And it's interesting you bring up a financial advisor, because I think this is a good, and I'm talking about good financial advisors or planners here, not people who sell your life cover and disappear. Okay, I'm talking about somebody whose business is set up to walk time with you, right? To be next to you for your life. And it's actually not a bad idea as a newlywed to work with a financial advisor, to start up front and say, right, these are our goals. Because my husband and I meet our financial advisor once a year, and it's such a useful thing to talk through our goals and where we're at and our decisions and our choices. It almost creates that space for us to do it. And I always update all of our, I have to admit, you know, in my household, I do all the investing. So I do tell my husband where all the money is, but he kind of just does it even to me. But we go to, you know, when we sit with our advisor and we always relook at our insurance. And that's another interesting one, of course. You know, if you're newlyweds and you've got no debt and things like that, you know, maybe there's not such a big need for life cover. Maybe you need to be looking more at disability. But the minute you look at buying a house together when you start having children, I see far too many, I'm sorry to say this, but far too many men are particularly bad at life cover. Women are more likely to take out life cover, I think, because they worry, you know, it's a single mom, you know, it's a big priority for them. But there's too many men out there who just think that if they have life cover, their wife will kill them or something. I don't know what it is, but there's this fear of having life cover. So I think that's also a very, very important part of this newlywed discussion. You know, are we, you know, if something happens to one of us, what actually happens? Yes. And especially as you're accumulating assets or debt, asset-based debt like houses and raising children together. But for me, I think starting that journey with a financial advisor, financial planner, and having that person hold you account every year could be actually quite a good strategy.
Absolutely, because the knowledge that you're going to get from your good financial, you know, planner or financial advisor is going to be timeless. Is something that, you know, it will be with you, you know, for the rest of your life, you know. So you should take advantage of that. You shouldn't give them the responsibility of handling your money and then you look sideways and, you know, you are getting, you probably get surprised. After 20 years, they tell you, no, your investment was growing at 5%. You know, it was in the money market fund all along, you know. So you should educate yourself and ask questions. Ask questions and if you don't understand, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. Eventually you will get it. And when you get it, next time you will know what to do with your finances. You know, and I like it that you are the one that is managing money at all.
Well, you know, I do this for a living. So, you know, you do, it's probably we're playing to each other's strengths. Funny enough, my husband does the budget. He knows, I have no, if you ask me right now how much a liter of milk costs, I have no idea. He does all the shopping and the budgeting. So we're kind of switch roles a little bit on that one. But I think, so just to sum up, and I think, you know, newlywed couple, be open and honest about where you both are financially when you enter the marriage. Please draw up a household budget so that you understand what it costs you to live, and be fair. I think, Morocco, be fair about who pays for what, because also you may come in on different incomes. You know, one may be a bigger income than the other. And is that split in a way that's actually fair for each other and sustainable? And especially on groceries, I think I do see too many men thinking that groceries are cheap, and, you know, because they're not doing the shopping, like me, because I don't do the shopping. So, you know, important things. So all of those sort of housekeeping things, and then saying, right, emergency fund, look at it, opening a tax-free savings account. What are our goals? And set your goals and see how you can achieve them, and maybe work with a financial advisor. I mean, what do you think? I've kind of summed it up for you?
No, absolutely. Absolutely. And we mustn't forget that, you know, shares, listed shares on the market, are the best, you know, asset class that will give you the best returns. So as you grow through this journey, you know, you should focus. You should also, you know, put your focus on investing on the market, directly in the market. You know, through buying different shares, different companies. You know. Yeah, I think, you summed it up.
And of course, you can invest, you know, as I said earlier, even through your tax-free savings accounts, your ETFs, your unit trusts, you can invest offshore. So a lot of people are worried about the RAND, the grey listing, yes, which I understand. I'm not saying that's not a problem. But, you know, you can, for 200 Rand a month, actually access offshore investments as well. So really important that you look at all of that, but educate yourself as well. And good luck to all you newly married couples. I have been married, next month I will be married for 27 years. So there you are.
Wow. And you, Morocco? Wow. No, you 2 decades ahead of me.
So I know about managing finances with your husband. How that works. Yeah. Well, thank you so much for your input. And again, I really enjoyed your books. Think Yourself Rich and The Wise Investor. And thank you so much, Morocco.